This episode of WDW Today is brought to you by our good friends at Off to Neverland Travel. Now, you heard for the last month us praising Off to Neverland, and there's a reason we're doing that. That's because not only do they provide great deals, they also provide great service. You can right now get that meal plan you may have heard about. It just came out. Head on over to their website, gotoneverland.com. You find out a lot about it. You get a free quick service meal per person per night with the purchase of your select Magic Your Way vacation. It's a great thing. You can find out all the information. I don't want to bog it down right here in the ad read. You can find out all that information at gotoneverland.com. You can find out Disney news on there. You can check out their story, request a quote, be a part of the revolution. And that revolution is the concierge of travel, the concierge of Disney travel, Off to Neverland. And as Will likes to say,
all you got to do is call a magic maker and don't do anything else because they will do your packing for you. That's not what I say. All you got
to
do is
pack. Come on, get it. No, I'm cutting you off. Go to neverland.com.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today, coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Wednesday, January 27th, 2016, and this is episode 1496 of WDW Today. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
I'm Terry Weaver.
And I'm still looking for a co-host to my Spice Girls podcast, so if you're out there, let me hear it. Come on now. I want you to just send me a tweet. Respond here. Well, you may sound a little strange. That's because Will, Terry, and I are actually for the first time ever not in the same spot. It is late night. We tried to get into the studio, but unfortunately we are snowed in.
I've got a gratuitous reference here.
Okay.
Do you want to build a snowman?
No. That's
very nice.
No.
Okay. Bye. All right.
I want to go see Trolls is what I want to go do instead of build a snowman.
No. I'm pro Frozen here, guys. But hey, before we get on our tangents as usual, we have to start off with a little thing we call a quote quiz.
Quote quiz.
So this week we're going to keep the instructions shorter because you guys are catching on to what we've got going on here. I've got Andy on the line, and he's going to be playing for me, and I'm going to ask a question from one of the attractions at Walt Disney World.
Give a quote.
Quote from one of the attractions at Walt Disney World. And when you guys are ready, all you need to do is just say your name, and that'll be your buzzer. Everybody understand?
Yeah, and Andy, you're playing for a Laugh-O-Gram prize pack, so be excited. Okay. That can come with anything from shirts, hats, who knows what you're going to get. Each and every week, we give away a Laugh-O-Gram prize pack for right now. So, all right. I understand, Will.
I'm ready.
Andy?
Yep.
Andy, I'm counting on you, buddy.
Yeah, you're playing for Terry.
I love this job, and I'm good at it, too.
Man. I love this job.
I'm good at it, too.
Logan, the Stitch's Great Escape.
Nope.
Andy.
Andy, go ahead.
Say Star Tours.
Yeah, Star Tours.
Andy gets the prize pack. Terry gets the point.
So that means we are all tied up on the quote quiz.
And really, we're all a bunch of zeros.
It's been the listener every time.
Every time.
Which is a good thing, though, because we want him to get the prize pack.
Exactly.
So congratulations, Andy.
You got a lot of stuff to get out of here, so it's good.
Yep.
All right, thank you, Andy, so much, and we appreciate it. Andy, where are you calling in from?
Redwood Falls, Minnesota.
All right, classic. Redwood Falls. Sounds very majestic.
It is.
Cold, freezing?
No, it's actually going to be
balmy
20 today.
Just so you know, 20 degrees is freezing.
I know.
In everywhere but Minnesota.
But if you live in Minnesota for over 20 years, you put it in perspective.
All right,
Fair enough.
Well,
thank you, Andy, so much
for doing this. You never know what's in a Laugh-O-Gram prize pack. Check it out, laugh-o-gram.co.
Terry, welcome to the leaderboard.
Oh.
Terry, yes, that's right. So that's Logan,
Terry's first
2.
Point.
Will, 1. Terry won, so we're all even, and none of us have actually gotten a score for ourselves.
We're all even, except for the fact that you have 2.
Well, that's right. But, I mean, none of us have actually guessed the quote yet.
Correct, yeah.
Our surrogates have won every time. Well, like I said earlier, we're snowed in here.
How long do you think this is going to go on? Like, is this going to be... At what point do we give up on
podcast? Hopefully another 10 years.
No, no, the quote quiz. Like, at what point do we say, let's just do listener trivia?
Like, I'm going to go with, like, another 1,100. Somewhere around 2024, I'll call it. So we'll see. We'll see where it goes. But we are snowed in here at Nashville, Tennessee. We got about 8 inches of snow, which is an apocalypse here. A snowpocalypse, as they've been saying all over the news and over the Twitterverse. But so unfortunately, we're not all together. We're able to get some really cool stuff for you guys for this episode, so don't think we're skimping out. Going to say goodbye, play some old stuff, some best stuff. No, we got some brand new material because we anticipated this may happen. But unfortunately, we didn't record the beginning, middle, or end of the show. So that's what we're doing here.
We were prepared. And they say in bad weather situations, just like zombie apocalypses, you should always be prepared.
Pre-pay-y.
Logan is not only going to do a Spice Girls podcast, but a Godspell podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a general questioning Logan's taste podcast. It's that's actually a good name for our show.
Questioning Logan's taste. I like it.
Well, I did want to talk about, you know, one of the things we want to do here at WDW today is not just bring you, what the guys have been bringing you for years, just tips and news, but also some specific tips about some small businesses, some local companies to Orlando that can really help on your Walt Disney World vacation. So we have a thing called shout-outs. And if you want to be part of shout-outs, if you have a small business, send us an email. You'll find it on our website. Just go to WDW today. You'll see in the right-hand corner it says shout-outs. And right now we have two shout-outs, and we're going to do one now and one later. The first one is for a company called Virtual Mickey. And you may have heard of them before because they've actually been a sponsor of WDW Today in the past. But what they provide is these really cool iPhone apps. And you can find out all about it at virtualmickey.com. But you know, one of my favorite apps is one they have that I just downloaded recently. It's called Days to Go WDW. And it counts down the days in style to your next Walt Disney World vacation. So it's great photos, great interactivity, and really gets you excited for your next Walt Disney World vacation.
And of course, as a DVC member, I'm loving the DVC by D-Point app that they have. That if you're a DVC member, this app is just for you. You can calculate the number of points needed for a stay at a DVC resort in seconds. And D-Point even tracks your point usage, your key vacation dates, and all your deadlines just for you.
And you know, one thing I'm really digging as a man with a master's in journalism is the Theme Park News Disney Edition. And that's where you get official and unofficial Disney news from sites around the web. So it kind of compiles it. It's like the Drudge Report for theme park news.
And yeah, Will's a newsman. Will worked for NPR, so this is not his first broadcasting gig. So I compare NPR news to Theme Park News Disney Edition, just maybe more interesting.
Probably more interesting.
We have the same audio quality right now as NPR does. It's just crisp, perfect quality. Well, you can check out all those apps and many more at virtualmickey.com. Again, virtualmickey.com. And we're doing this, look, I mean, they're a partner with us here. They're a shout-out partner. But really, we're doing it because we want to feature some really cool small businesses that really help you plan your next vacation to Walt Disney World. All right, to get on with the show, coming up, we have an interview with our first interview with a correspondent, Sparkly Nicole. You may know her as Sparkly Nicole on Instagram and social media, but she had a really unique experience. She went to the Osborne Lights and got to spend the last few days and actually was there for the final performance. Let's go to that. Take it away.
All right, today we are joined by our first guest correspondent. You've probably heard us talk about her already. So you know her as Sparkly Nicole, possibly on all forms of media, social media, blog, website, store, everything she does, and she'll get into that a little bit. But she also had a very unique experience we wanted to get to here soon on WDW Today. So Nicole, welcome to WDW Today for the first official time.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to talk to you guys.
That's awesome. I know you're a little part of our little kind of mini meet that happened last week, but for those people that don't know you, maybe don't know your history with all things Disney and all things Orlando and magical, why don't you give a little brief history of who you are?
Well, in a short version, I'm from South Florida, and I just loved the movies growing up. I was pretty fortunate and got to go, since it was only a 2-hour drive, I got to go as a kid a lot. And then when I got my own car, you know, I'd come up sometimes with friends or by myself. And then I went up to UCF for college. I studied theater. I wasn't sure if I wanted to work at Disney, but I knew I wanted to stay close to the fam. Disney ended up being what kept me here in Orlando. I just started to make a lot of friends, and I was like on Twitter meeting really cool people that were at the parks all the time. And I just really like planted my feet here and just had to stay because of the parks and every friendship that I made and all the fun I was having. So then I started a blog in 2012. I was also actually working at Disney at that time. I worked there for the calendar year of 2012 at Star Tours. I don't know if you guys knew that.
I did not know that. Classic. Yeah, we were at the classic Star Tours or the updated current Star Tours? When was that? I don't know when that was. That was about the same time.
It was the Adventure Continues Adventure or Continue. The Adventures Continue. I can't remember where the S is.
Whatever the S is at, the Adventures Continue. I think.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
You should know this.
You should know. You worked there a year. Will and I went to the, we were there opening day for that attraction. So.
Awesome.
Yeah, so it was one of our favorites. But okay, continue on. So essentially, how did you take your job being working as a cast member for Walt Disney World, obviously having your Twitter and all things, how did you take that and kind of take it to what it is now, which is somewhat a bit of a phenomenon?
Oh boy,
come on. We got to sell it. We got to sell it hard here. Come on.
Well, thanks for that. You know, I just got really lucky and you know, pretty blessed that people, I guess, like my story and the kind of stories that I like to tell online. I like to help people that are coming to vacation or looking for great things to do at Walt Disney World in Orlando and beyond. And, you know, I grew up loving performing and, you know, went to college for theater, and dance was always my thing. But I think it was really the storytelling aspects that I love. And I've gotten to do that through videos on YouTube and through my blog especially. And I like to post stories on social media and include my favorite things. So, you know, Disney's kind of like my favorite thing ever. And it just all came together and it just kind of worked for me. So, and then I love social media and telling stories that way. And I also teach social media classes and, you know, I'm a social media director and, so that's kind of where it's at for me.
Well, that's great. Well, Nicole is on the ground often. You know, we wanted to make sure we had people that were in Disney World and Disneyland there as regularly as possible. So if you follow her on all her different outlets, we'll make sure to post all the links to Sparkly Nicole, and you can find out all those on our website, but mainly because you'll be able to, you know, maybe pop by and see you someplace. You do meetups and all these different great things. We want to make sure we have people though on the ground to cover also great events and things that are happening. And that's why we have you on today. You got to do something a little bit different that a lot of us didn't get to do this year, and that was, why don't you tell everyone why it is? I'll let you set it up.
Well, I went to the very last night of the Osborne Family Spectacle of Dancing Lights at Hollywood Studios.
What was that like?
Yeah, I thought I was going to be like pretty sad all night, but just the excitement of being there and seeing so many friends. Like I met a lot of people that like read my blog and stuff, and that was awesome. But then I saw so many familiar friends that that loved the Mulch, Sweat, and Cheer show that my fiance was
right,
in.
Of course.
That was on the streets of America, and they used to open the Osborne Lights, so there's a lot of overlap there in the, you know, that part of the park.
Yeah, and our listeners obviously were huge fans of that show as well.
And Nicole, hey, I'm a fan.
Well, you have to be a fan. No, I'm kidding.
A lot of the a lot of times when Disney's ending something or closing a ride or doing something for the last time, they like to make a big deal about it. How was it on the ground there, knowing it was the last time?
Well, I think everyone was just really taking it in. They did do a little special something that I'll tell you. I won't tell you yet because it's real cute. I mean, people may have seen it on social media and stuff, but I feel like just the energy of the cast and everybody enjoying the lights, it was like, you know, they were getting those photos in, they were having fun. But then a lot of people, I think, were there for most of the night. I mean, we came when they turned on and stayed until they turned off. So, you know, it's like 4 hours or so. And people were just like dancing and having fun and sitting around just watching. And it was like, it meant so much to me to be there, because I actually met my fiance like right before the lights started at one of the Mulch, Sweat, and Cheers shows. We had our first date at the Osborne Lights. I got to take my grandmother there just 1 month before she passed, and I think everybody can really relate to having those special family Christmas Disney memories at the lights.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
It's one of those things. So.
And that's what Disney's all about. It's about the memories you make with your friends, with your family, and that's, they create those experiences for us.
Absolutely.
So I guess kind of let us know, how did it end? How did it all go down? I know you don't want to give it away yet, but I think that's an important part of the story. I know a lot of people have probably seen it. I've watched it on YouTube, and I think we may have even retweeted someone's post of it. It was a pretty cool, cute little way to wrap this whole thing up.
It was really nice. In the beginning of the night, I had heard of this gentleman, but I'd never met him. Jim had worked with him around Hollywood Studios, and you may be familiar with John Phelan. He's a show director for Disney Creative Entertainment. And he is the one who went to the Osbournes over 20 years ago and asked them if they wanted to bring the show here. And so when I saw him in the crowd, I had seen him do some interviews this year, and then I saw him in Breezy Osborne's Instagram picture. So I knew who he was, and we saw him at the lights, and he said... I asked Jim, like, hey, could you maybe introduce me? So I said hello and just kind of thanked him real quick, and we took a picture, and we were just chatting for a few, and he had mentioned that, asked if we saw the end, and said he put together a little something special. And it was definitely short and sweet and sad, but they played the MIC See You Real Soon little jingle there. So,
and that was just for that last showing. That didn't happen the other nights of the year, or was it just for that?
It was originally supposed to end on January 3rd. I'm pretty sure that Disney and the Osborne family had planned to turn the lights on for that final night ever, because they were there and they did turn the light on that night. That, I believe, was the first night that they played the ending finale part, and then they played it, I think, the rest of the night.
Yeah, so just for a couple of days.
Yeah, so like those last four nights.
Well, that's really great, Nicole. I mean, I'm glad you're on the ground and able to cover these things for us, as, you know, our Nashville crew and Len, who's in North Carolina, we're all down there often, but maybe can't get down there for when things like that happen, when they decide, hey, we're going to extend Osborne Lights with no notice for 2 or 3 days. So I think that's what's really going to, you know, makes you invaluable to this broadcast, and really appreciate you doing it. So for you, I'm just curious, as a fan, what do you feel like is next for Hollywood Studios? You said, obviously, your fiance was in Mulch, Sweat, and Shears, a fan favorite that went away earlier, you know, this year. Osborne Lights also going away this year. What do you hope to see in the coming years, specifically at Hollywood Studios?
Well, you know, it's funny you should ask. Hollywood Studios is my favorite park. I go all the time. I love old Hollywood glamour and that sort of feel that it has. I don't think that will go anywhere. It's the sunset in Hollywood. Whole area and right. That like kind of favorite part of mine, but that back area, if you were at the 2015 D23 Expo, we saw those renderings. So we've got, you know, Toy Story Land and Star Wars Land coming for us.
Oh yeah.
Some speed.
What are your opinions on that? I just want to know from someone, cause like I'm a giant Star Wars fan. So I'm very biased. The fact that I am super pumped for Star Wars Land, but for someone that is, her favorite park is Hollywood Studios, how do you feel about these upcoming changes?
Well, I gotta be honest with you that I love to love Disney. You know, I don't like to complain if I don't like something, I don't go. So this is kind of one of the first times that I've been really disappointed, because within a 12-month period, I lost the Hat, which was like, I loved the Hat. I know a lot of people like the theater, but I grew up with the Hat and I loved it. And then I lost my favorite show, Mulch, Sweat, and Shears. The Streets of America were, you know, one of my favorite places to hang out. And the Osborne Lights was my all-time favorite Disney thing ever. So I'm a little disappointed, but...
I understand. Like none of us are wanting to be haters or bashers on this as well. So I don't want to convey that, but I understand. Look, you have to be honest and you have to share your opinions, and I think there are people that feel your way. If you're not a giant fan of Star Wars, which obviously there are tons of people that are, or even Toy Story, where things are going, and you like sort of the stuff you grew up with, it is kind of a hard time to transition. Now, coming out a little bit earlier to me with the hat situation, like I grew up with it being MGM Studios and that and Grandma's Chinese Theater being the icon. So to me, it was like a little bit of a fun return to what it was. But I also can see your point of view from that.
And I mean, what screams old Hollywood more than stormtroopers walking around everywhere, right?
Well, you know what? I'm actually not a longtime Star Wars fan. When I was in fifth grade, episode one came out, and that was kind of like my birthday party. I got some toys, and so I was like into that.
The prequel era.
But I didn't know, I don't think I had really sat down and watched the original. So my fiance is a huge Star Wars fan. That ended up being our second date, was watching Star Wars. And now that.
And you're still, and you're engaged to him. That's impressive.
Yeah, well, you know, I was like, let me see what this is about. So, and I was also just about to start working at Star Tours, so I was like, maybe I should.
You should have an idea.
Yeah. So I feel like now that this new movie came out, I got to be honest with you, I've seen it three times. I love The Force Awakens. I think it's excellent. And I feel like, you know, I've seen the other six movies a bit. I liked them. I have like Star Wars shirts and I loved going to Star Wars weekends and stuff like that. But with this new movie, I feel like it's something I can really like get in on. Like I'm part of it. I'm
sure
when it opens and I care now. So
right. That's the feeling we're getting for a lot of people. I'm a huge Star Wars fan, classic prequels, current stuff. I love it all. But my wife, who is, I'd say, kind of in the similar boat where she didn't watch Star Wars until we were together, watched it, enjoys it, enjoys that I enjoy it. She saw The Force Awakens and left and said, I have to go see this again. And the fact that made a Star Wars movie where my wife left and said, I have to see this again, shows you how great of a movie it is. So I think you're right. Is there anything, now that you've seen the movie multiple times, and this will be, maybe we'll wrap it up here. Is there anything you want to see that you saw in The Force Awakens that you would actually like to see in the park, in your beloved Hollywood studios?
Ooh, you know what I love is the overall like visual aesthetic of Star Wars and like the beautiful sunsets and just the colors and the different textures of the world. So I would love to see how they're going to bring that to life in the park.
They're going to dome the park, fake sun, sand dunes everywhere. Suns. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Nicole, so much. And how can people reach out to you and connect with you on your various media outlets?
Everyone can find me on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook as Sparkly Nicole. My blog, sparklyeverafter.com. And I just launched a new clothing line that's fairy tale inspired at sparklyeverafter.shop.com.
All right. Well, check out all those. We'll make sure to put them in our show notes. Thank you so much, Nicole. And we will talk to you soon. Whenever news is breaking, Nicole is there at Walt Disney World.
Thanks, guys. Thanks. Have a good one.
All right. Thanks a lot, Nicole. Really appreciate it. I just want to take a quick break to tell you about our new friend and sponsor, Walt Life. Now, you may have been driving through Walt Disney World. You may have been even here in Nashville, Tennessee. I've seen them driving around here and seen these big decals on the back of people's cars that say Walt Life. And you may have wondered, how do I get one of those awesome decals? Well, that's not all they do. But if you do want one of those decals, you just go to waltlife.com. When you're there, you're going to see some really cool stuff. They do giveaways every month on their Facebook page. They also do subscription box services. If you need a little taste of the magic back when you're at home, they have an awesome subscription service. Essentially, you get a box of goodies, of Walt Disney World goodies every month. It's really great. And also, they do pin trading. There's tons of different ways you can get involved with Walt Life. Again, it's at waltlife.com. Again, I mean, I just still got a sticker. I just got one in the mail. I got my t-shirt, my Walt Life t-shirt. If you want to show your love and your passion for Walt Disney World and all things Walt Disney, it's a great way to do it. Looks cool. It's clean. I really think you're going to like it. Again, one more time, waltlife.com. Make sure you tell them you found out about them right here on WDW Today.
And you know, Logan, it's more than a vacation. It's a way of life.
Go to waltlife.com.
Hey, thanks for hanging in there. We're back. And I sat down last week with Logan, and we had an
exciting... You sat down with me. We had a great conversation, just me and you talking. Yeah, no, I'm just kidding.
Terry's about to interview Logan for the podcast.
Look, I've been waiting for my moment to shine. People say I don't talk enough on this podcast.
Of all the feedback I've seen, it's that Logan doesn't talk enough.
Yeah,
we want more
most,
Logan.
That's the most requested thing. Go ahead, Terry. I'm sorry.
Oh gosh. this is still fun, even though we're not in the same room. Yeah. Well, hey, I want you guys to hear a conversation that Logan and I had with a guy by the name of Rhett Wheeler. And Rhett, you might have heard his story, was at the Parks the day they recorded the Christmas Parade, and Ariana Grande was running late, and a crazy thing happened to Rhett. I want you guys to listen to this conversation Logan and I had.
Rhett, welcome to the show. I hear you're broadcasting from on property right now.
I am, actually. I'm on Tom Sawyer Island as we speak.
Well, that's incredibly appropriate. Rhett, why don't you tell people a little bit about what happened to you on that very special day?
Yeah, it was incredible, actually. I had a ticket to come watch the Christmas Parade taping, because obviously they tape the performers
right
before Christmas Day. And I was standing in the middle of the audience, and they were kind of killing time. And David Foster, who I've been a fan of since before I can remember, he's, you know, 16 Grammy Award winning composer, producer. He was just asking if anyone in the audience could sing. And they had a couple people come up and do a couple lines. And he said he had time for one more. So I kind of shot up my hand, and he noticed me and said, okay, that guy in green, come on down. And I asked if I could sing one of his songs.
And you can kind of see in his reaction that took him back a little bit.
Yeah, he did. It was, I think maybe he knew this guy knew something, or, you know.
Yeah, it almost feels planned when you watch it. It's amazing.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I mean, my heart started just palpitating when he called me. So I went up, and I actually sang a couple lines down from the bottom of the stage, and he stopped me and said, come up on the stage. And nobody else had gone up on the stage, which was amazing. And I got to go up on the castle stage. I mean, how cool is that?
The fact that no one stopped you is even the greatest part about that. I mean, the fact that it seems like something that could never, it seems like something from a Disney commercial, not something that happens. It's like your kid's not really going to skip down Main Street with holding Mickey Mouse's hand. That's something from a commercial. It feels like that. It just seems like some delay, if someone didn't show up and it took forever to get to you, end up being just an incredible moment in your life. And now you're in your career.
Yeah, I mean, it was just like the most magical moment.
So, Rhett, I've got to know, really my funny. Background is yeah. in, I spent a lot of time doing artist management. I've got to know, have you and David Foster talked at all since this day?
You know, I wish I could tell you that we have. I actually have spoken to his musical director, who was there that day playing in the band on stage. Mm-hmm. And he was just congratulating me and saying that it was a big honor to be called up onto the stage. And what David Foster has said in the past, which I've found really interesting, is that he says the microphone passes your lips but once. You have one shot. And I just felt like that was it for me, which was unbelievable. You know, it was kind of this breakout. I've been a singer for a long time, but never something as extraordinary as this. And there have been some other things. I've gotten some great benefit work out of it. And there's been some producers that have contacted me. So I'm hoping and keeping my fingers crossed that things come out of it.
For sure. What was your career before this? And a lot of people probably, I mean, it seems you obviously are a professional singer and actor. This is what you do for your career. What was your life before this fateful day? What was your career?
Yeah, I sing on cruise ships. So for this, I kind of was an entertainer, a singer in a production cast, and I sang as a headliner. I did my own show on luxury cruise lines. So I kind of cover other artists, a lot of Billy Joel, Elton John, pop rock, which is very interesting and completely different to what people have now heard me kind of do this operatic,
of course,
more lyrical, song. So it's very cool. It's opening up a new branch of music for me, which I really have enjoyed.
Now, you're clearly, I've been, you know, looking through your social media, a Disney fan. What is your connection with Walt Disney World, or your love, or your thoughts about the magic in general from Walt Disney World?
I grew up on Disney. I was a child with the white VHS boxes, you know, that had every movie. I've always loved the story of Walt Disney, that, you know, he started and his character Oswald got taken away from him, and, you know, he's a real rags to riches story that's just unbelievable. You know, he created this entire world of fantasy that everyone can fall in love with, you know, no matter what your age. And I grew up in California, so I grew up with Disneyland as kind of my
home base.
So, yeah, home base. Thank you. And now I have a lot of friends and family actually that live out in Florida, so I became an annual pass holder out here. I love it. I mean, there's so much more, you know, it's great.
So much so that you're talking to us unplanned. We happen to have time today, and we've been working out our schedules with you. We happen to have an opening today, and you just happen to be at the Magic Kingdom. So, I mean, that says
a
lot.
Yeah, completely unplanned. It's fantastic.
So we are, as you know, a Disney World podcast, and I've got to know, what is your favorite attraction in all of the parks there in Orlando?
I'm a huge Peter Pan fan, as people might know now from my Peter Pan ears that I made. And so I love Peter Pan's Flight. It's got to be my number one. It was one of the original rides in Disneyland and here in the Magic Kingdom. So it's kind of got a special place in my heart.
Good answer.
Do you like the new queue when you go through the Darling's house?
It's amazing.
Now? Love it.
The magic is incredible. I mean, all the pixie dust is just, brilliant. It's brilliant. Very good addition.
Thank you so much for joining us. I'd love our audience to be able to connect with you. How can they find out more of what you're doing and where you are, and how do they keep updated with Rhett Wheeler?
Absolutely. I actually started a public entertainer page on Facebook. It's very easy. It's facebook.com/IAmRhettWheeler. So that's IAmRhettWheeler. And I keep that updated completely. I also have my own website, which is RhettWheeler.com. So any of those, and
they'll find you there.
Regularly updated.
All right, and look for him walking around the parks. You never know where you're going to find Rhett. He's just he's there.
One thing I took away from that is that he and I like the same ride at Disney World.
That's right. So. That's right. You both love Peter Pan's Flight, your favorite rides. You both are willing to wait 45 minutes for a ride you've done or more 1,000 times. And 45 minutes is not that bad, but I can never really justify 45 minutes with my son. I've done the Fast Pass once with him, and he's like, I want to do that again. I'm like, it's closed.
Anything with black lights and black light paint at Disney World is...
Or in general.
Yeah, I mean, well, probably in general, but especially
Spencer's Gifts. Riker actually told me we were actually headed to the Disney outlet to get the... They just got in the Lion Guard stuff and the stuff from Zootopia, so I wanted to get a few things from that. And he passed Spencer's Gifts and goes, Daddy, I'm going to go in there when I'm a grown up.
Which is what all of us thought at his age.
Exactly. It's largely disappointing. Sorry.
Unless you want some gag gifts, son, you better pass.
They do make it oddly appealing to kids. It's like, look, here's a giant stormtrooper section, but don't go over there. You don't go over there. Well, you know, to move the show again along, again, I know that it probably sounds a little weird, a little delayed. Again, we're snowed in here, so we're doing this late night. Triple H just won the world championship, if you're watching the Royal Rumble, and crushed all of our dreams. But beyond that, we want to talk about one more shout out that we have for this month. And this shout out is for something I've actually used myself, and it's called Kingdom Strollers. Now, I have 3 kids, 3 and under. So bringing a stroller to Walt Disney World or renting a stroller is a necessity. And I've traveled with strollers, and that is a bunch of, it's bad.
It's a bunch of difficulty.
To carry your own stroller, bring it down, and I actually started renting them recently through Kingdom Strollers. They have these city mini strollers that I'm obsessed with. My wife is obsessed with. But they also have other options as well. But they're really easy to travel, really great. And really what they do, you book them. You can see all their prices for different nights. You know, 1 to 3 nights, like $40. So it's really nothing. It's a really great way to do it. They also do cribs and bedding. But again, they're a local, small company out of Orlando. The owner, Matt, has been a supporter of this show, and he really wanted us to kind of share the love about Kingdom Strollers. You can find out more about them at kingdomstrollers.com.
Hey, Logan, isn't that the company that when we were down there last time, they actually delivered the strollers to you?
Yeah, they deliver them straight to wherever you're staying. Whether you're staying off property, on property, no fuss, no cleaning, no packing. Yeah, they bring it to you. They'll drop it off for you. You can connect with them. Whether you're staying on property, Walt Disney World, off property at a hotel, or I've actually had them deliver it to a couple of vacation homes. I'm a vacation home renter myself, and it's a great way to do it. It saves you money. It's cheaper than renting them right on property. And what they do is whenever you're done, they come back and they pick it right back up from you. That's what they do.
I love that. That's great. I love convenience on vacation.
It's awesome. I've loved their service, and I will definitely be using it every time that I'm there. And just check them out, kingdomstrollers.com. If you go to our website at WDW Today, you'll see a spot if you want to be a shout-out sponsor. And they're very affordable. That's really what we're doing. We're honestly doing it. We're sharing this so small businesses can have a quick shout-out once a month about their business. Just go to there. You can email me, logan@laughogram.co. It's an easy way to do it. Or just send it directly to our questions at WDW Today, and someone will get back to you shortly. But really, that personal one, again, just go to WDWtoday.com. Right under Kingdom Strollers and Virtual Mickey, you'll see my email address. Send an email there, and we'd love to feature your business on the broadcast. Well,
you know what time it is.
I do know what time it is. Bring it, Steve.
It's time for listener questions with Lynn.
All right, Lynn. This says
testing his knowledge.
I feel like I'm being waterboarded here. Let's see what you get. This says, "Dear WLTL,
which L am I?
You are the last L. Lynn comes before you in the order.
Okay.
There you go. I'm debating between 1) staying at a Disney Value Resort for my entire length of stay, and 2) staying part of my time at a Universal Deluxe Resort for as short of a time as possible to get the deluxe/early entry benefits. What are the fewest nights one needs to spend at a Universal hotel to get the Express Pass early entry benefit for the entire ticket purchased? If I go with the off-Universal option and save big bucks, I'm not opposed to paying out-of-pocket for the Express Pass, but I know I won't get the early entrance."
This is a fairly common question, and it's actually the way that we sort of visit Universal when we're doing a split stay. So it's here's what I advise. You only need to spend one night to get 2 days of early entry benefits at Universal. That assumes that you're going to check into your hotel like at 7 a.m.
Right.
So that you can be at the but you only need one night at the deluxes. Yeah, show up to check in around 7 a.m. They'll give you the pass for the entire day, and you get the benefit for the day that you check out as well.
And Universal really does push that really well. I know we're a Disney podcast, but the early entry to Universal is great, and really the Express Pass to Universal Attractions really helps out on that, and it's well worth it. And all the hotels are nice.
And if you're going to Universal specifically for the Harry Potter attractions, which are their big draw right now, I would say that that's pretty much the only way to do it. If you get in the park, you need to get in the park early to be able to not be wasting most of your day waiting in line to do the Harry Potter attraction.
To do the Harry Potter attraction.
He's French now.
Yes. I quote Spice World a lot, but you're Mr.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter. You know, he's an Academy Award winning actor. So, Terry, do you ever go to Universal?
Every now and then.
Terry, have you ever been to Universal?
Have you been since they closed the Ghostbuster Spooktacular in 1992?
Yeah, I went the week they were about to open the Transformers
Twister.
Ride.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Islands of Adventure.
Anytime I could call a friend and, you know, because the music industry, my ties,
and I can get a free pass.
You get music industry Mai Tais? I like this.
Yes. That sounds like something at the off-brand Trader Sam's. Yeah. Music industry Mai Tais. Yeah, they're not very good.
I hope that answered bankrupt. Your question. I'm going to throw out one more that none of us know. We just got it came in, and I'm just going to, you know, this will be a good way to wrap this all up. This came from Terry, and not the Weaver, the man, Terry Mann, who said, "Why does Mickey wear pants but no shirt? But Donald wears a shirt but no pants."
Different species.
Yeah, I guess it's what's
for ducks, it's
crude,
appropriate to wear a shirt and no pants. For a mouse, you got to be wearing the pants.
Yeah, because there's a lot of feathers. I mean, feathers are considered clothes.
It's essentially pants. Yeah. He's got down pants on.
Terry?
I don't even know. But Mickey has a tail, I get.
It comes out the pants.
But he has a very short fur.
A pant door.
He doesn't have down feathered pants. What do you think, Len?
I think that anybody who says feathers are considered pants is looking at Elton John's wardrobe.
You haven't seen what we're all three wearing.
Yeah, you're not here in the studio with us. That's the benefit of us three being here.
Let's just say we're all mice here.
Yeah. Surely.
Yeah, we have no shirts on.
Well, I can't do the feathers. I have the allergies.
So Mickey wears pants and not a shirt. So he's like the pit bull of
and really, and Donald right? Duck is Porky Pig.
And when does Mickey in the does Mickey in the parks? This is a question. Does Mickey in the parks ever not wear a shirt? The character, the whatever you want to call it. One person got mad at me for referring to it as a character. But does real Mickey Mouse in the Magic Kingdom and all? Does he ever not wear a shirt? I don't think so. Oswald doesn't wear a shirt.
Yes,
what happens when they're like Blizzard Beach and Typhoon Lagoon? Do they still wear shirts?
We have Google.
A lot of times, they'll wear like Hawaiian shirts.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Let's see. Hold on. In the drawings, they don't. Oh, yeah. Goofy wears like a life vest and like a purple. Yeah. Mickey wears a shirt. Mickey wears a Hawaiian Aztec-y Jimmy Buffett shirt.
It's a safety shirt.
It's a safety shirt. It's his water wings. So they do. So, yeah, there's never. I'd be willing to say, other Pluto aside, there's no shirtless characters ever at the Magic Key or at Walt Disney World.
Unless Oswald's out.
Oswald, Chip and Dale. Let's go through all the shirtless characters. All right, this is we got Oswald.
The weirdest episode ever.
We got Chip and Dale.
Ariel.
Yeah, true.
Pluto.
Those are shells.
Stitch. This is entertainment right here.
High quality entertainment.
If you get a picture with every single The genie. If you can get a picture with the genie and all the other shirtless characters, we will send you a Laugh-O-Gram.
This is a new touring plan, I think, Lynn, yeah. Where everyone you go and post on Instagram, hashtag Lynn Powers. In fact, let's start that right now. Let's start hashtag Lynn Powers. I want you to go to the parks this week.
Lynn Power.
I want you to take pictures with the...
That's another Spice Girls reference.
I don't even know what's happening right now.
It's all falling
just
apart.
Just take pictures and use the hashtag Lynn Powers. Yeah.
There's Buzz, Woody, the alien.
Little green alien.
And I've got a fluffy pink hot water bottle.
Little Gucci dress.
All right, let's I think that just...
I don't think we answered a question, but no, boy, we have a good time.
That was...
I answered it. I know the exact reason. Yeah. Different species.
All right, and to wrap it up, let's actually get back onto sort of a serious note. The marathon weekend just happens, but it feels like there's a marathon happening all the time. The three of us are not runners. Lynn, have you run one of the marathons or half marathons or a 5K or anything?
I've run most of them, including the Goofy, so half marathon, one day marathon.
Ooh,
the next day.
Showing off here. But okay, so Janet says, do you have any tips for people traveling to Disney World during a marathon? My daughter has a trip planned in February and has found out it's marathon weekend. What should she avoid?
So I would definitely stay on site, so avoid staying off site or at one of the downtown Disney hotels, because the transportation, the roads are going to be closed because of the race. So getting to the theme park parking lots is very difficult. If you can stay within walking distance of the theme park that you're going to be visiting the most, that would also be super helpful for avoiding long transportation times. So one of the Epcot resorts, if you're going to Epcot or the studios the most, who am I kidding? No one's going to the studios the most. Or one of the Magic Kingdom resorts, if you're going to the Magic Kingdom, that's the best way to do it.
Yeah, and I would say don't make morning plans. Don't make that the day that you're trying to get to Cinderella's castle for that once-in-a-lifetime breakfast. Like, make that the day where you know, the races are normally over early to mid-morning, so
you know, plan a breakfast there at the resort. If you're staying at, you know, Animal Kingdom Lodge, go have some Boma and or wherever you're staying, or maybe make that a pool half day and then kind of slowly work your way into the parks. That's what I would do.
All right, I think that answers that question. Thank you, Len, again, for joining us on Listener Questions with Len. We appreciate you every single week. Thanks a lot. And we're going to have some full episodes with Len coming up. He's got some plans that he's shared with us that are going to be mind-blowing, to say the least. And I can't wait to share them. Thanks, Lynn. And of course, we couldn't end the show without talking to you about Off Kilter, the greatest house band in all of podcasting. Off Kilter. Go to offkilter.net to find out all about them, buy their merch, see where they're playing. They have a CD release party coming up. You should check it out. We're going to hopefully be there, be a part of that. Offkilter.net. Well, this show couldn't happen without our friends at Off to Neverland. You've heard us talk about them for the last month, and they are an awesome organization. They just launched with the new Disney meal plan. Check it out. Go to neverland.com. They're an amazing sponsor. They handle everything. And as Will likes to say,
all you got to do is pack.
That's right. All you got to do is pack. Go to neverland.com. Well, that'll do it for today's show, the Snowed In Show, which it has a lot of NSA secrets. I'm Logan Seculo.
I love that. That was a nice one.
I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
I'm Terry Weaver.
I'm Lynn Testa.
Hey, that was pretty good. We'll talk to you on the next show. The sweet time of Derry, Australia bound, if we did it all down, the Mars of our federal